So before we recite Srimad Bhagavatam, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto the Granth of Srimad Bhagavatam. With Sadhguru Krishna, with the speaker of the Bhagavatam. So to really hear Srimad Bhagavatam means to hear Krishna. And to hear Krishna means we have to try our best to have a mood of loving devotion and to hear and chant as a service for the pleasure of Sri Guru and Ranga. And by their mercy, then we can hear what we need to hear, and all of our questions can be properly answered by Srimad Bhagavatam's mercy. And whatever doubts or whatever problems we may have in our spiritual life, then Srimad Bhagavatam also showers mercy. So we're coming to try to get that mercy from your Srimad Bhagavatam, not as an academic or scholastic exercise. So in the mood of devotion and surrender and service, we offer respectful obeisances unto the Emperor of Srimad Bhagavatam. So reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 14, the material world as a great forest of enjoyment, so-called enjoyment. And today we're on text number, I think it's 21. 21 and 22? Is that right? Thank God. By 14, 21, and there's no purpose, so it'll also be 22. So this is not, is anyone really expert in Sanskrit? This is not a... Okay. Anyone would like to shout? Just me. You put it all on me then. Merci. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The forest of the material world Unconditioned soil is sometimes bitten by endless enemies, which are compared to serpents and other creatures. And due to tricks of the enemy, unconditioned soil falls from those prestigious positions, becoming anxious. We cannot even sleep properly because it becomes more and more unhappy, and we gradually lose his intelligence and consciousness. In that state, it becomes almost perpetually like a blind man who has fallen into a dark well of wilderness. There's no paper, so we'll also read the next verse and paper. And then we'll also refer to some of Srila Prabhupada's instructions on enviousness and some of those topics that we'll also discuss in that verse 21. But first we'll go to text number 22. Kari Sakshat Kham Amadhu Yavan Vishnuvan Vida Hara 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 Yen Adarun Dhano Reja Angira Yishaka Tatyaka Apare Nerae. Translation Purple Pashu Bhopam PC Bhakti Vanta Swami Sri Bhopam. The division soul is sometimes attracted to the real happiness derived from sensual education, and thus there is illicit sex or steals another's property. At such a time, he may be arrested by the government, or chastised by the woman's husband or protector. Thus, simply for a little material satisfaction, he falls into a hellish condition and is put into jail for rape and kidnapping, theft, and so forth. Material life is such that due to indulgence in illicit sex, in gambling, intoxication, and meat eating, the conditioned soul is always in a dangerous condition. Meat eating and intoxication excite the senses more and more, and the conditioned soul falls victim to women. In order to keep women, money was required. And to acquire money, one begs or borrows or steals. Indeed, he commits abominable acts that cause him to suffer both in his life and in the next. Consequently, illicit sex must be stopped by those who are spiritually inclined or who are on the path of spiritual realization. None of the yogis will fall down due to illicit sex. When you spend money and even fall down from a highly honored renounced order, then for a livelihood, they'll set up menial services and will become beggars. It is not just that in the Shastras, one looking how they go and where he should come, he should come. Shri Bhagavatam 7th Canto, 9:45. Materialism is based on sex, whether illicit or illicit. Sex is full of dangers, even for those who are addicted to household life. Whether one has a license for sex or not, there is great trouble. Bhava Bhupa Bhava. After one indulges in sex, many, many volumes of miseries ensue. One suffers more and more in his material life, and because of oppression, cannot properly utilize the wealth that he has. And similarly, in the party's depression, misuses the common throne. Instead of using it for a spiritual emancipation, he uses the body instead for sense gratification. And therefore, he is called a miser. Because it speaks the truth of our situation, the material, wonderful world conditions, souls in this world, and it said that the human elephant does not look at anyone's face, it is not partial. The truth is the truth, and it probably explains that everyone here in this material world, in the material body, is also affected by this attraction. He must provide a sex life. It explains, even from Lord Brahma all the way down to Buddha Gopa, or Ant, everyone in this material world was disturbed by this sex desire. As we all heard in Prabhupada in the Testament of chapter 2, he's talking to people restless around women, men, and money. This is not, unnatural. Don't be surprised that we're disturbed or restless because of the strength of this material attraction, this desire to get it, desire to enjoy, especially sex life. It's explaining that it's for the world, but the highest pleasure is this sex life. So we should not be surprised, the shock by that. And sometimes the devotees are chanting and they say, oh my God, you know, I can't believe I had this thought or this dream. They said, why are you surprised? But it's a personal lifetimes. You can do a lot of that activity. You develop such strong attraction and attachment, deep rooted desire to that level of that type of sense gratification. The process is to get out of it or to get free from it is also not a very easy proposition. And also for the devotees who are trying to practice this spiritual life, they can understand that very, very well. And so the Prabhupada says that you can judge yourself with how well you're doing in your spiritual life and how much you're getting free from this attraction and this desire to want to enjoy sex life. So it's explained that all about the different ashrams, that only one of them, which is Grihastha ashram, is a license for this type of activity. The others, Vamachari, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, according to the Pandavana ashram system, they are very strictly meant to avoid association with women. Also very serious about spiritual life, they must be very, very careful in that association. And here, Prabhupada is talking about even with their own household life. And so, what are our householders? Are we grihasthas or are we more ladies? That is the question. And just because we may be married, it doesn't mean that we have full license to unrestrictedly engage in a sinful activity. Whether it's illicit or illicit, it's the same. So, the first part of the verse was also talking about frivolousness and how the humanity, the conditioned soul, in this material world is tortured by this deeper miseries relating to our bodies, our minds, the bodies and the minds of other people. The threefold misery that God is like a punishment, God is inflicting every lashes of God. And this is causing us to be in a suffering condition. So this frivolousness and this lust physically deep-rooted obstacles in order to overcome any setbacks in our spiritual life. So, when we hear the description of conditioned soul in the material world, those who are truly conscious, have any level of consciousness and honesty, will immediately say, yes, this is true. Yes, that is my position. Yes, I am suffering like that. If we're not in the human consciousness, if we're in a lower consciousness, too much Malaguna is there, then we'll not perceive our suffering condition. And we'll think that the material world is a wonderful place, and that so much enjoyment is there. Don't be so pessimistic. Just be positive, you know. Why are you so pessimistic? And so all of those letters will not overcome constantly thinking about the reality of the situation that we find ourselves in within this body, within this material world. Because we're trying to get us to first of all to purify our consciousness by hearing them, to get rid of that Tamagun, and we call this a mostly Tamagun, rid of the Rajagun, not mostly Tamagun. So in that Tamagun and Rajagun, from this soul is thinking, you know, I'm fine. And he said, you know, couldn't be better. The Prophet is happy. He said, the old man is on his deathbed, he's ready to leave his body, he's suffering like anything. And then the family comes to visit him and says, oh, grandpa, oh, father, how are you today? And he said, today's a pretty good day. I'm feeling pretty good today. The Prophet is asking, he says, what is the value of your feeling good? You're ready any moment you can leave that body. And so he said, this is really due to this ignorance, not understanding the reality of our situation. The Prophet many times talked about the hogs and the dogs that are rolling and playing and trying to enjoy. They have no idea how much they're actually in such a vulnerable position and body and engaged in such horrible activities. So that is the trick of Maya, that she makes us think that everything is very, very nice. Now, if you have Krishna prema, and we're free from all anarchies and terrible desires, and we're completely looking at the planet, and you can say, yes, everything is very, very nice. But if we're not in that platform, then it is not real, which simply means we're in illusion. And many times I've heard a book that used to talk about callousness, that man who's already callous, even if he's in the forest fire, his hair is caught fire, and his eyebrows, everything's on fire. And he's coming out of the forest, he says, sir, how are you doing today? He said, doing pretty good. Thank you. Going better. It's a better day. It's another day. So this is callousness. We don't even realize what is our suffering condition. And when it's explained, like Krishna said, we call it a falsehood. I have created this world to be very temporary and to be a place of misery. And when we're trying to point out the reality of the situation, because if we don't understand the reality of our situation, why are we sincerely assuming to try to solve the problem? So first, we can point out what's the problem, and then, we are the problem. We are involved in the problem. And if we can somehow realize our suffering condition, then, hopefully, if we're intelligent, we'll think, okay, how do I solve this problem? And so the Prophet says that real human life is meant to make some inquiry that, what is the real point of my life? What am I really trying to achieve in my life? What's the absolute truth? Why am I in a suffering condition? Why am I being forced to suffer like this? Why so much anxiety? Why so much disturbance is there? So an intelligent person will perceive that and realize that if he has some type of level of consciousness, some type of sensitivity to the reality of the suffering condition. If we're callous and called over by Tamil, we will even not realize it. And then the one thing is, everything is very, very nice. So, if we can realize what is our position, and how much without being surrendered to Krishna, and developing love for Krishna, how much we're being punished by that, in the form of so much anxiety and suffering. And Prabhupada says, one who's very wise, very intelligent, he'll think, how how do I get out of this situation? How do I change my position and my consciousness to get free? So this idea that, you know, Lord, we don't want to serve anyone's, you know, self-esteem, and, you know, we don't want anyone to get, you know, kind of depressed and to feel negative and, you know, pessimistic. Sometimes I remember being given up to Ashwin. Yes, I also remember when I met some, you know, Brahmachari who just, you know, was sitting up here telling me about, you know, going up to Ashwin. I went through it. I survived it. Sometimes, you know, so much anxiety, so much suffering, so much problems, so much responsibility. It's like sometimes we're in the material world, we're drowning in the ocean. We're trying to survive. We're drowning in the ocean in the material existence. Now, we're going to explain it. We're going to have to ask them, you know, yes, we're in the ocean, but we have a big pasture on our head. We're all the little chickies, you know? And all the other responsibilities, you know, we're already drowning. Okay, let's just add a little bit more of that. Right. So, it's hard. It's difficult. So we're learning how to multitask. Multitasking. And what? So just when you master your multitasking, oh, here's a little bit more prayer. Let's see how you can stretch yourself a little bit. So sometimes I would find myself, I have to admit, walking around the house just saying, bliss. Bliss. And the former wife used to say, oh, people, why do you have to be so pessimistic? And I said, I'm just being honest. That's how I feel. I'm sorry. And I remember the good Lord one time, he said, you see, but when has to ask them, will make you cry. Yes, it will make you cry. And I remember when I heard that, I said, you're going mad, you know? You're going mad. You know, why I should cry, you know? You had a couple of kids, what's the problem? What's the crying? And one day, with some guys, when the children are sick and passing and growing up, and after working all day, and also the mother is also very sick, look at the child, and they find the person of the child, not that either. And I said, what are you doing here, you know? You know, look, you know, I'm struggling right now. I'm trying to pass it by. And after working all day, much looking, they have so many problems, so many headaches, believe me, this is not theoretical. This is total from my realization, so don't get upset with me. And all of a sudden, there was a, oh, Krishna, how did I get myself in this situation? This is not terrible. Everyone's crying. And all of a sudden, I remember the time you died? Maybe the last time you would have died because of the stress and anxiety and difficulty. Well, here you go. Here you go. So, of course, everyone who's not is conscious, regardless of whatever ashram we may be in, we're all being conscious. That is a suffering, anxiety-filled position. And it's explained, and Srila Prabhupada also explains recently, I read the Prabhupada says, those who are very serious about the spiritual life, they're always meditating on birth, death, disease, and old age. So, Krishna says, it's a temporary miserable place, and those who are serious about spiritual life are meditating on, you know, old age, disease, and death, and understanding the fourfold miseries of this world and how they're being heavy-heavily kicked and heavy-heavy lashes, because they don't understand the reality of the situation. Why? So that first of all, they can get out of it and hopefully never have to go back through it again. That's why they do it. So again, Krishna is saying, look, I made this for the temporary miserable place. And we're like, well, why are you so negative? Why are you so, you know, pessimistic? No, because Krishna, Bhagavan, is saying it's a miserable place. I just happen to agree with him right now. Because I'm not in the nice consciousness. I'm not in love with any Buddha. I don't have full-blown love for Krishna. So now I'm feeling a little anxiety and disturbance. And is that so strange? And if all of us can look at our life, we can understand that by mercy of Guru and Krishna. So part of that suffering is this type of enviousness, dealing with envious people, or snakes, or serpents. It's said that during the Buddha talking about enviousness of the serpents, he said actually the man who's envious is more dangerous. And because that enviousness are more painful to us, because at least the other type of snakes can be charmed, like the snake charmer, and he gets the snakes to dance, and he can pacify those serpents. The technical pundit says, those angels, man snakes, no matter what you do, you will not pacify them. And so, whenever they get an opportunity, they will get you. I was recently in Mumbai, I was hearing from Haridas. Some of you are the devotees of the disciples, and they know Haridas in Mumbai. And we were taking prasadam together. And it was a very nice pastime of Srila Prabhupada, which I had never heard before. And what happened was, some servants of Prabhupada were a little bit arguing over who was going to massage Srila Prabhupada. And they were arguing so much outside the front door that the massage wasn't actually getting done for Srila Prabhupada because they were arguing who was going to do the massage. And I told us, a disciple, he said, okay, this is my opportunity. And he says, I just snuck in there while they were fighting. Of course, that's transcendental fighting. And we started to massage Srila Prabhupada's legs and his yoga feet. And he said, normally, Prabhupada, after 10 or 15 minutes, he would, fall asleep for a couple of hours, and then they would just put the mosquito net, and they would just walk out of the Srila Prabhupada's room. But that day, that night, Prabhupada was still awake, he was slapping away, and now 15 minutes, or half an hour, you know, 45 minutes, 1 hour, Prabhupada's still, he's awake, he's... Now 1.5 hours, he said, I'm still asleep, he's slapping away, 1.5 hours, and Prabhupada's laughing in his transcendental smiley, and he says, and he said, Prabhupada, why are you laughing? And I'm like, look, I'm dying, you know, I'm dying, you're laying out, you're up, you're alive, you're fired up, you're laughing, enjoying, what's going on? Like, let me in on the connector. He would say like that. And Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, I was just thinking about my last life. And he's like, you know all about your last life? Of course, 97 Mahabharata, 8%, they're born again, and Mahabharata's blown up. So Srila Prabhupada was remembering a previous time that he had been from Lord Vrindavan to participate in Mahaprabhu's sacred foundation. And so very much we did their prayers, and we said, Prabhupada, can you tell me about your previous life? Father said, yes, I'll tell you all about it. And then we popped up Srila Prabhupada with prayers and, you know, more than comfortable because he wanted to hear the whole story. And in Srila Prabhupada, you know, childlike simplicity, he was just playing along as well. Yes, let's go to the and then Prabhupada said, you see, in previous life, you know, I was also into the medical profession, and I liked this topic and this medicine and like this. And he said, in that life, I also had a very powerful guru. And one day, at Gurudev, he said, hey, there's a snake outside the Bhutan Putya. You go and kill that snake. And my brother said, how can I kill anything? Well, I'm not supposed to kill anything. And then somehow Prabhupada, you know, saying that, you know, in that case with endless, you know, scorpions and serpents and snakes, sometimes because they're so much dangerous and endless, they live in silence. They also become happy when these scorpions and snakes are killed. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada a little bit hesitated, but then he wouldn't want to fight, he wanted to fight against such a group. He also told me the story. And then Charlie Kaufman said, anybody know when you click on me? And so you see, that was my last life. I killed that snake. And now in this life, I have 3,000 snakes. Right, this is correct. It's coming from our world. Coming from where it's going to go. Somehow we're talking about snakes. Can I push it up our mouth? Even a man snake is most dangerous. Only such a man of power for Peter Kutka to have mercy, potency, something even to change such personality. But we're the only best to avoid such persons. So those endless enemies of the conditioned soul are compared to serpents. They are always checking that conditioned soul to try to pull him down from this position. So endlessness, Prabhupada is talking about. A couple places that I think we're going to have some understanding of Srila Prabhupada's description of this endlessness and how also it is such an obstacle in spiritual life. It says, I am given that that body is going to be purified and transformed, and then we can go back to Vajuntha, then we can go to the spiritual world. But for one that can't be transformed, Prabhupada explains its endlessness. So this endlessness is of Krishna and Krishna's devotees, and even anyone who has anything. This is a very deep-rooted problem, and it requires a lot of mercy from Krishna and Krishna's devotee. And part of that mercy means to try to understand what it is and to identify within ourselves and follow Guru Krishna, that we also are struggling, we also may be struggling with these different qualities, demoniac qualities, such as endlessness, or lust, anger, greed, all of these things. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was speaking in London, August 18, 1971, he was speaking on Srila Bhagavatam, volume 2, and Srila Prabhupada was describing what was Bhagavad Dharma, which is Krishna consciousness. It is meant for persons who are not envious. Vatsala means to become intolerant when his neighbor is prosperous. Or tolerant how someone else is doing better or getting something or being prosperous is his parents. Or tolerant. That is called Matsala. Everyone is envious. If his neighbor, if his brother, if his friend becomes more prosperous than himself, then he becomes envious of that person. This is material nature, this is the nature of the material world. So similarly, Father says, when our Krishna consciousness movement, if we become envious, he has become so popular. He's making so much progress. So let me try to put some impediments, and some obstacles towards his progressive path. This is enviousness. And this is material. And I'm telling you, how is it that this proverbial mobile brother is becoming more prominent? Is it dancing with the mercy of Guru Krishna? I cannot tolerate it. So, therefore, let me try to make some means. This presentation today said, go make some trick. Somehow or other, I will drag you down from that position. This is enviousness. And it's explained that as long as that mood, that mentality is there, we cannot understand anything about spiritual life. Well, it says that our guilty consciousness is that if your neighbor, if your brother, who is prosperous and who is progressive, is very critical, then you also think, he is so nice that he has served God, Krishna, so nicely. And because of that, Krishna shall so please upon him and have blessing him. And therefore, he's making so much nice progress in his spiritual life. That is the Vaikuntha atmosphere. That is the Vaikuntha mentality. Not envious mentality. And so, Prabhupada is saying that now we, that the society, the spiritual society, it's a society, I think we all know what the it should be a society based on non enviousness. But we should not be envious of each other. And if someone is getting some benefit, we should just let go. He must come to us and get nice service, he wants some mercy, what he's able to come up. But when we put on the other hand and find out what is the secret of success, maybe he may also show us some mercy on you. And this is the Vaikuntha atmosphere. Material consciousness is over. He has advanced so much. Let me check him. Let me try to stop him. This is materialism. And this is going on because, as I said, the world is filled with this enviousness. So for us to understand Krishna and Krishna's devotees and process of bhakti, it says without being simple-hearted and free from this type of enviousness, no one can understand. Krishna will never manifest. Whether through the Srimad Bhagavatam or through the chanting of the Holy Name. We cannot get mercy from Krishna, and we cannot get mercy from Vaishnavas. Therefore, to a transcend spiritual life is practically nil. So that's why this is such a great obstacle in our spiritual life. Prabhupada says, I remember a long time ago, sometime in 1986, my eldest son who was in Bombay, I was in Australia, and he stood first in that class. Prabhupada's eldest son stood first in that class. And so his class friends, his classmates, were becoming very envious. Oh, where is that boy that is coming from Bengal? From what Bengal is it, right? He comes from Bengal, and he stood first in our class, and then they wanted to fight him. They wanted to fight with him. They wanted to have a feeling. And the Prabhupada said, they were paying to me. And he was complaining to me, just see what is my situation. I told everybody, I came in the first in the class, now everybody wants to beat me up. And Prabhupada said, just see, even children can be very, very envious. Even children. That means, Prabhupada said, this is the nature of this material world. If you prosper and you advance and your brothers, your neighbors, your friends will all be envious towards you. So what's part of the Dharma? What is not meant? This Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Dharma, is not meant for such envious persons. Nobody is staying here, partnering, or what's allowing to come. Not for envious persons. The envious persons, that means materialistic minded persons. They will not be able to come. They will not be able to understand what is being spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So our process, Sri Prabhupada says, is because we are envious by our nature, and in this envious material world, we should think, how can I clean and purify my heart from all of this food? Enviousness and lust and anger and greed. Krishna said these are demoniac qualities. Prabhupada said they're all demons. Snakes, demons. More or less. Let's look at the more or less. Some of the passage like this. More or less. That's what we're looking at again. More or less. So therefore, we have to go from being demon to pure divinity. And to do that, we have to learn to get mercy from Krishna and Krishna's devotees, Vaishnavas, and from Swami Prabhupada from the whole men. And if I realize I cannot get the mercy, I'm not getting mercy. It says that if we're so proud and arrogant, We can have an important moment for mercy. But I was very humble and realized I am suffering here. I feel like I feel all these things are gripping up. But honey, many of them are gripping up. Let's try to control the mind and the senses. And all of these things. God says, if you control the mind and senses, the whole world is a dangerous place. One moment, we'll be in trouble. So if I can make up that, understand his condition, his position, one moment, I'm aware of the condition, so, refrain with your mouth. I can't control my mind and senses. I cannot purify my heart and consciousness from all of these, from all of that propensity. I tried hundreds and thousands of times. And the end result was, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And so the prophet says, you cannot purify yourself. Rishikesh, Arachishna, Supreme Lord, people surrender to Guru Krishna. By their mercy, they are the purifiers and the controllers, Rishikesh, as the purifier and the controller of our mind and senses. So without surrender to Guru Krishna, there's no question of purification of the heart of the consciousness. So if I can ask that thing, he's crying before looking up, he said, hey, I can do it. I can. Thousands, hundreds, thousands of times. And the result of that so-called enjoyment, Prabhupada says, is unlimited suffering and anxiety. So you have a bit of pleasure and a whole lot of problems after that. So if you weigh it up, and you compare how many of you have the moments of pleasure versus the price that we pay for it, an intelligent person will say, this is what? A good prayer. This idea of a children will be anything. So if you want to work that well, he's saying, I tried thousands of times. I can't control my mind and my senses by myself. I just want to tell you my defeat. So I take you to the door. He's saying, tell you my defeat. I do also. He said, again, I tried everything. Spiritual trying for good, the fighting, all of our chat. The man, he couldn't solve it. He couldn't solve his life. He couldn't solve the problems in his life. He could not control his mind and senses. And they admit their defeat. And then they think, well, let them just somehow or other surrender. To whom? I don't want to be Maya Das anymore. I don't want to be kicked even another lashes from Maya. Now I just want to surrender unto you. I got a good answer. I don't want to be Maya Das anymore. Maya Dasi. Now I want to be Krishna Das. Krishna Dasi. So Maya is helping us. Prabhupada says that is heavy kicking, heavy lashing, moving, punishment. And we should realize that. We should recognize it. Why is this happening to me? And then it stopped. Will it ever stop? So then we need to try to solve that problem. We tell them how it's supposed to stop. Huh? Before we find it. So we said before we find it. Give me a lot of medicine, you don't know about you. So I said, I'll take the car, push me around, that's medicine. That's the medicine. I talked about the problem, okay? That's the problem, I have the problem, I try to solve the problem, and we'll bring it back. I will wait by the point, now what? Now what should I do? And so the prophet said, yes, I have very nice medicine. I have a very nice treatment program for you to purge your mad mind, to clean your filthy heart and consciousness. And it's like the medicine? That is Hanuman. That is Krishna Kapal, Hari Kapal. That is the medicine. And the diet? That is Jagannath Prasad, Krishna Prasad. Jagannath Prasad, okay! And then it's a beautiful things. Are you nicely trying Hare Krishna? I take the Bhagavad and Arjuna, trying begging for mercy from Sri Guru Krishna, trying to associate those kinds of non-envious, those companies non-envious. And the money's so hard as they get the power, stream of public dumb, and the money can help us help them. There's a treatment program. And then, those that say, just take this to Prasadam, take it up to Prasadam, don't take any of the tea. And we're going to go, or we're going to do a speaking for the banking ordinance, or I don't know the name of it. So we call it just because they wanted to eat something sweet from outside. The Prophet had heard that. He said, no, this won't be good for you because that will contaminate your consciousness. And the doctor, I gave you the treatment program, but you're going to take my medicine. And then so the Prophet, you want any more than simple endocrines? The doctor went on, he said, you want some sweets? No problem. But just make sure it's Krishna Prasadam. Send it up to Prasadam. That will purify your heart and your consciousness. Then, whatever you do, wherever you go, chant Hare Krishna. The Prophet said, pilgrims, about chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, giving the light, giving the silver words, your teaching, not giving or going red, whatever you do, whatever you're doing this to Krishna, even if it's Hare Krishna consciousness, somehow or other, trying your best to cultivate your hearing, chant about Krishna, take this to Prasadam. And when you see it Guru Krishna, then our heart and our consciousness can become clear from this karma born and logical and all these demoniac qualities of enviousness and lust and anger and greed. And when we tell the temple, then they said, yes, it's totally impossible and imaginable. And so what is that? They said, you have to dust for sure. So that doesn't sound very difficult. You're dusting with the mirror, then you get a clear picture. Well, it's, you know, a few years later, and you're still dusting away here. It's a pretty good dust, isn't it? And then there was one time, which sort of broke the image, because you're a little bit doubting that, you know, you're doing the children back in the margin, trying to clear the dust. The marriage of dust? It's a thick layer, Baba. We can hit the lower mountains. So if we really truly understand where we really are, and what is the true nature of our disease, then we'll find a very nice doctor who can give us a real nice, perfect medicine, and do that medicine, and by following that instruction, those instructions, we can very quickly purify our heart and our consciousness, and we can see from all of these nasty, horrible qualities. A very expert, you see how she's envious, and he's very envious, or he's very lusty, she's very lusty. What about us? Isn't it a very expert at seeing everyone else's fault with an actual vision? We can find a fault even if it doesn't exist. We're so good fault finders. Okay. And it's all nasty qualities we're seeing in others. But perhaps we have those same nasty qualities within ourselves. If we were being introspective and we have no consciousness and we're very honest, scientific, and we just simply analyze what my heart, my consciousness is filthy, it is not where it needs to be. I'm not coming up to the standard of this attitude and prove yourself. So that means a lot of mercy is required. And Krishna, Krishna is the devotee to get that mercy. We have to do something. Yashya Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada, yes, what is it? Yashya Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada. Yashya Prasada, not the devotee. I'm sorry. I needed mercy. So we try to do them. We get their mercy. And Krishna says in Gita, to show my devotee special mercy, I destroy. For within that heart, I destroy all of this karma. All of this spirit within the heart. Krishna will do it. Let me think sincerely and seriously how to surrender to Krishna's devotees, and to Krishna, and get their mercy. Then, with that mercy, we can mostly cleanse our heart and our consciousness. Without that mercy, where are we in this cleansing process? How much we're getting free from all of these deep-rooted obstacles and material desires. So we must listen to the instruction as best we can and try to sincerely practice it. And if it's true, then mercy must flow to us, and certainly we'll see the benefit of that mercy. So I'll stop there. I'm a little bit late as usual, but we say for the prayers of the spiritual minister that, what is it? My only desire, is how can I purify my heart and my consciousness? And how I hear you, as far as our Christian now, emanating from your lotus mouth. At the time, mind open for Krishna. If we can hear it submissively and it opens and opens inside of us, and by the mercy of Lord Krishna, our consciousness can be nicely cleansed. My only desire is to purify my heart and my consciousness from all of these demoniac qualities that are blocking and stopping us from being able to surrender and serve Krishna properly. And Prabhupada says, well, for that consciousness, by hearing Sadhana, what other process of bhakti am I going to do? Prabhupada says, if you're going to nice Sadhana, you cannot do nice Sadhana. And Vishnu Sadhana, Parasadhana, Akshanam, Vandanam, Vashanam, Sadhana, Vandanam, what a nice Sadhana. What Prabhupada says, the first and most important aspect of devotional service is Sadhana. And actually, the path of bhakti is a path of hearing. So we should not give up this hearing process, this eternal process of hearing. This is how we can water and put the sunlight on the Dhrupad Bhakti. And the moons are also coming up quickly with that sunlight and water. So we also have that daily moment to moment. We have to also do some nice reading of all of these room-like qualities of the Maya qualities. So thank you very much for your time and patience. If someone would like to say something or have a quick question or prayer, that would be wonderful. Yes, what's up? I hope you're not mad at me.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Extremely, extremely. I was thinking about this endlessness, but do you think the competition spirit is kind of connected with endlessness, because it said endlessness cannot be used in competition consciousness, yeah. Because I saw Prabhupada, he used competition spirit, you know, like for book distribution and this and that. So sometimes I have this out. Is it really true? We can't use endlessness in
First of all, I don't necessarily equate endlessness with competition. That's the first thing.
Yeah, that's the first question.
And when Prabhupada calls it transcendental competition, not the material competition based on endlessness. And of course, he's trying to encourage and use everything in Krishna's service. So that way, Prabhupada's engaging us in this type of competition. But the real competition should be within ourselves. That how much am I surrendering? How much am I serving in the right mood, with the right understanding? But the value is within. That's very important. And if we're truly sincere with value within, and trying our best to surrender to get mercy by being introspective and honest, then automatically, by that mood and by the mercy of Guru Krishna, we will become the best that we can become. And whatever we can achieve with that mercy, then that will also be perfect. So we'll become somehow part of this training, encourage us. Especially in the Western world, there's been even more in India, so much competition with this and studying and who's growth in the class. You see, in 1936, who's growth in the class, and all the big children learn about Bhagavad Sang. So that's my understanding. I think that we have enough to work on within ourselves. The Bible says we're supposed to find fault within ourselves. We should be introspective and see, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to improve? The problem with this communication point of view externally that we are taking the focus off of ourselves. And rather than a competition, we can also fall into a type of enviousness or fault-finding. So we also have to be careful to see it as transcendental competition. That's my understanding. If anyone else has something they'd like to add to that, you're welcome to do that. First of all, I like these shirts. It's very bright.
Oh, hey,
if we're saying it, I don't know if we're saying it, not really exactly perfectly, but you know, the hardest part of sincerity and devotion, and you just didn't hear or figure it out yet, that this will eat the essence of your bhakti and your devotion. Yes.
Thank you, Mr.
I should have studied more, you know? So if a person who is chanting or speaking is doing it from pure consciousness with pure motivation, and that Krishna is attracted by the sincerity and seriousness of our profile, of the speaker, I'm a hero. Krishna says that I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the heart of the mystical abuse, I'm in that place. For my devotees, sincerely, try to hear and chant about me. Krishna says, I run to that place. So Krishna is the judge of our sincerity and our seriousness. We should try our best to be as sincere and as serious as possible in our living and chanting. And we should always try to improve it. And that is our challenge. And we hear and chant our association. But the work is in such a way that Krishna will come and manifest and improve with our hearing and our chanting. So that is up to Krishna to judge our level of bhakti or sincerity or seriousness. And the other thing about this is you judge by the results, by the effects. So if all of the questions are being properly answered according to the Sarvam Shastra, and all of your thoughts are being destroyed genuinely, and also getting filled from all of these trapped qualities, endlessness, lust, all of these material desires, material attachments, if all of these things are vanquishing, going away, being destroyed, then we can understand that we're getting mercy from Śrīgurū and Krishna, Śrīgurū and Brahmā. But we should be judged by the results. So judge by the results of your association and hearing, and how much, how effective is that association and that hearing in doing what it's meant to do. See for yourself. See for yourself. How important, how effective it is in terms of the effect. What is the effect of the hearing? Are all of those hearing? Are all of your questions being properly answered, if you're actually satisfied with the answer? Is it helping us to be Krishna Das? And not longer to be Maya Das? Is it helping us to surrender to Guru Krishna, the process of bhakti? Then that means we're getting a good result. That means we're getting mercy from Guru Krishna. And we should desire to become greedy for that association and that hearing. And then very quickly, we can advance in our spiritual life. We can mercy. Thank you very much for your question. So thank you for yes, to Mary.
Please accept my English lessons.
Please accept mine.
You mentioned Sravanam is the most important.
And yes, I've heard of the prophet said that Sravanam is the first and most important aspect of Jyotsna so Lam. Yes.
And so Sravanam, it's
Krishna K. Thank you. the money on the tree. Somebody on the box behind the key. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.